Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Certainly seems this week in the Tiger minor league system, there's been quite a bit of news, quite a bit of activity, and the Erie bats have been just decimating pitching. But the reason why we, if you look down on our lower left screen, if you're watching us on YouTube, and if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, first and foremost, thank you. By the way, we had our best month ever in terms of downloads. So thank you for participating. Thank you for sending us questions. Really appreciate that. Well, if you're watching Jack O'Loughlin pitching here through the cottonwood that's floating around in Great Lakes, he almost got nailed there. The reason why I pulled this start is because Great Lakes has one of the best offenses in the league, and he just got promoted to Toledo, Chris. And so we were speculating whether or not this was a org move, or because Toledo's rotation has been just getting pummeled, first by Rochester, now Indianapolis, over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's the... Sorry, can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I thought it was my end at first.
Speaking of the Seawolves, yeah, that was like perfect timing from Charles, the dog. Sorry. Yeah, it's June 1st. And so we've talked about this before when the Tigers traded Jonathan Davis because they thought there was an opt-out. I think the Toledo Mudhens pitching staff has been really strange all year long. They haven't had many guys go deep into any starts. And it's almost been like a small army of short and long relievers there. But I think that we've got some Mudhens veterans probably opting out. I haven't seen any word on that yet, but you just look at, so you've got Jack O'Loughlin getting called up from West Michigan, but you also have, who else got called up? Billy Lesher got called up to Toledo from Erie. Chavez Fernander got called up from West Michigan to Toledo. So it feels like they're trying to backfill some arms there. And what we know that Reese Olson's coming up to make his MLB debut tomorrow on Friday. And so the Mudhens need somebody who can meet some innings. And Flynn has been pitching very well in West Michigan. And it's like, all right, he's the best option for them right now.
Yeah, Brayden Bristow, who was just called up for just that one appearance against Texas. He didn't even appear in the game. He got sent back down to Toledo. So there was guys like that. There's also
Ashton Goodell.
Yes. So there's that to consider. And in terms of, people are probably going to ask, what about, is there any arms readily available in Erie? But I really don't think they're going to try to break that up a little bit, because that rotation, they have a new pitching coach, so they're still breaking things in with him. And could be the case too, where Madden and Wilmer Flores has pitched better as of late. The last three starts, we'll be talking about that on Sunday during our live show we do every Sunday. But as far as what the Tigers concerned with guys like Flores, guys like Ty Madden, AA, maybe perhaps don't want to break him up. But if you're wondering why O'Loughlin, it's simple. He's been pretty effective over the last 25 innings of work. He's been one of the best pitchers outside of another lefty, Brent Hurdler, in the system. And he's got up to 95-96, according to Dan Hasty, the Whitecaps announcer. And he's been going in and out of his zone pretty effectively. Strikeout stuff is a little up, but he's not really a strikeout guy. But that ERA, but the walks, the most important stat right there, Chris, the walks are significantly down than they were from last year.
Yeah, he was a guy who signed when he was 16 years old. He's out of Adelaide, Australia, which is the opposite coast from Sydney, if you're wondering. And he signed in the same international class as Wenzel Perez. And so he's been around the system forever. It just feels he's finally putting things together. And he's always had a pretty good feel for his breaking ball. But, as a big kid, 6'5", 225, 235, And he's gotten more coordinated and more direct to the plate. So he's thrown more strikes and then more quality strikes. And the fastball is decent. The changeup is fringy. But he's a guy who can go up to Toledo and probably survive for a little bit. But as we're saying, I feel like they didn't want to disrupt Urie's rotation that much. And it may simply just be that O'Loughlin's turn through the rotation lines up best with Olsen's rather than, I don't bring it up, Montero or Madden or Flores or one of those guys. And I was saying earlier, I thought it might have been Sawyer Gibson Long who would get this call because he feels like the elder statesman there in Urie, but he didn't make his last start. He was supposed to start last Sunday and he didn't. And I don't know what's going on with him. He's hurt, if he's sick or whatever. So they go down to the next one. The next one is Jack O'Loughlin. And as we're saying after this, I don't know how long he'll be in Toledo. It could be a one start thing. It could be two or three. But my guess is then after he's done in Toledo, they'll send him to Urie rather than back down to West Michigan. So it's still in motion. It's just a layover in Toledo on his way to Urie, if you will.
Yeah, because it makes sense. At some point, you're going to see a corresponding move from Urie to Toledo or Urie to Detroit at some point based off a couple of factors. One being that Justin and Henry Molloy is starting to play the outfield. And with the injury to Riley Green, which we'll be discussing further in the Motor City Metrics podcast, you have Riley Green, you have Eduardo Rodriguez going down with an injury, you have Tarek Skubal, who's going to be back soon, but it's going to probably be a few more weeks, if not probably, you're hoping by the end of the month at least, that can hold out enough for the Tigers pitching. And then you have Winciel Perez, who moved to the outfield. We talked about that on Sunday. So you would have to make a move to add Molloy to the 40-man. In addition, you do have Parker Meadows. You have
Winciel Perez.
You have Winciel Perez. You have Winciel Perez and Parker Meadows both on the roster, and Perez going to the outfield. Chris, he's looked serviceable out there at best, but then we can't ignore the elephant in the room, and as one, Mr. Cole Keith, who has been starting at second. So it's a prelude to things to come that potentially could go to Toledo and maybe, just maybe, would hit Detroit by the end of the summer. Just a possibility.
Yeah, it feels kind of like it's moving season, if you will. And like, just things are happening in the minor league system. We talked about O'Loughlin and Lake here. But you have, for the first time all year, they let two guys go into pitch into the sixth inning. Yesterday, they let Brandt do it in Erie. He threw 94, 95 pitches and looked pretty good again. So he's a guy that, as you discussed, maybe moving up to Toledo. He would probably be my choice right now. And then O'Loughlin would backfill there in Erie. But and then they had Garrett Burhan pitch six innings for West Michigan. And so they're we talked about it before. The first month, it was only four innings for everybody. And then in May, it's five innings. And now they're looking in the reins at six innings, I think, at least probably till the end of the year. So we've seen that. They're getting some of these guys prepared. And then the other thing is, they're moving guys around. And we've seen this a ton in Detroit. But they love their versatility up there. And even Toledo, like Larry Lipkis, those guys playing all over the place there. But yeah, I think it's in preparation for these guys to make their way to the bigs. And part of it is you want Cole Keith to get, and he's played second base before. So you just want to get him familiar with that again for his inevitable call up to Toledo so that Molloy and Keith can both be on the field at the same time. But you don't want him to play exclusively second base, that he might be a third baseman in the big leagues. And so you don't want Molloy to play exclusively outfield because he might be a third baseman in the big leagues. So they're just getting these guys more acclimated to those positions. Molloy's played outfield in Atlanta. And I think he played exclusively outfield with AA last year. So yeah, it's just more about getting these guys ready for their inevitable call ups. And with Molloy, it would be the call up to the big leagues. And Keith, it's call up to AAA and possibly to the big leagues, too, because, what he did in May was absurd.
Yeah, so if you're wondering what he did in the month of May, he batted .374 with six home runs, drove in 27, had 10 walks of 23 strikeouts, and was just in the last, let's see here. If I go back from since May 20th, since May 20th, that goes a span of eight games. During that eight games, Chris, six of those eight games were multi-hit games.
I think seven of his last 12. Yeah. Like it's the second half of May. He's just like, you know what? I'm just going to hit everything. Yeah. He had that six hit game in there. He's had multiple 3-hit games. Yesterday was a 2-hit game. Yeah. The kid can hit. It is just a hitter. I think he'll be able to hit big league pitching. Maybe not from Jump Street, but it'll take him a little while, but he's got the ability to do it. And he's got the ability to hit the power too. So he could be a very nice addition to Detroit's lineup within the next 2 months, even if it feels like the sort of thing. I remember back in the day, Cameron Maben, a long time ago, or I think 2008, maybe, Cameron Maben was tearing up West Michigan and they took him up to Erie and he went absolutely bonkers for 10 days. They're like, all right, let's come up to the big leagues. Like, sometimes they're just like, hey, all right, why are we wasting these at bats down in the minors? That doesn't mean that he'll come up crush things, but it wouldn't shock me if he goes from Erie to Toledo and really has like a bonkers 2 weeks. We've seen even guys who are high ranking prospects, like Corey Joyce, every time he goes to Toledo, just turns into a monster. I don't know if it's better lighting or what it is that just smell the big leagues, or maybe it's just the kind of pitching. AAA versus AA, but I don't think it's going to be much of an issue for Colt Keith. And if he goes and destroys AAA, what's to keep them from bringing him up to Detroit?
Maybe it's all that Tony Paco's.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Yeah. Delicious sausage is always good for and baseball hitter.
And dumplings, yeah, too. And shout out to Robert James on Twitter, at Confusion Rain. And last night, I put the last two players from the infield, I have to specify this because people were trying to say Justin Verlander, I understood that Tony Giordano and Alex Avila are among the last two who have played in the infield that got the call from straight from Erie to Detroit, skipping Toledo. And I said, I can't recall a player the Tigers have had who dominated like this in their first year in AA. So Robert James did the math for me into the history, and then he goes, well, let's go to the tape. And I was proven correct, and not because it's not a victory parade, but this is an interesting stat here. So Colt Keith, 329 slash line, 329, 399, 576 with a WRC plus of 161. You heard me correctly, 161. Riley Green, 298, 381, 525, 145 WRC plus. Spencer Torkelson, just to give you an example, 263, 373, 560, 148 WRC plus. And then a name I haven't heard in a long time, Jordan Litterton, 269, 386, 469, WRC plus of 130. Quincy Laporte's down there, but he was, at this point, was like 27, 28 years old. So we're going to count him, of course, but still, we're seeing dominance. We're seeing the guy who has been seeing the ball all year long very well. And it sounds like we're maybe too excited about Colt Keith, but Chris, this is unprecedented. We saw Green sometimes struggle in the Erie. Sometimes we would have some really bad at-bats. It's typical of any player, but Colt Keith, sometimes we saw that early on. We saw that, I think, when we went to the home series, too. I think we saw Keith take a couple bad at-bats.
Yeah,
but
he wasn't locked in yet. He was swinging at pitches above the zone a little bit too much and hitting pop-ups when he did hit the ball and play. And one of those pop-ups ended up being like an infield double, which is funny, but yeah, he's locked in now. He's not chasing as much of the zone. He's still a very aggressive hitter. He doesn't expand a ton, but if you throw him a ball in the strike zone, he's going to swing it for the most part. And he's going to hit it pretty hard. Yesterday, there was an 0-2 pitch from a lefty. He got a fastball up and away from him, just a screaming line drive right over third baseman's head. He's just got terrific barrel control. And we're excited because he's a hitter. And the Tigers, you think Nick Castellanos like this. Isak Paredes had a really nice 5-week debut in Erie when he was 19, I think. But beyond that, like Riley Green took off after like his first 2 months in Erie. Then he really picked things up and was able to get promoted to Toledo eventually. But yeah, that's basically what we're seeing. We're seeing what we saw from Colt Keith last year. That second month of the season, he just goes nuts. Now, last year, it ended with an unfortunate injury. Otherwise, he would have been in Erie probably by July. And who knows? He might be in the big leagues right now. But yeah, and then here we've got him playing some little second base defense that we put together because, yeah, we thought people might want to get a look at him because he's not built like a traditional second baseman. He's big and muscular, although we have talked about him slimming down a little bit this year to show more range. But he's got, when he's on the move, he's got pretty good hands. There are times when he can let the ball play him and then it'll bounce out of his glove. So he's turning a double play here.
Yeah, that's right. That's a really cold, that was one of the cold days from last year.
Yeah, these are all like highlights from last April or early May because, again, he injured. Yeah, he's going to be perfectly passable at second base, I think. You worry a little bit about the double play turns and footwork around the bag. But we see these guys, it's not like they get to the big leagues to stop working on this stuff, right? We've seen Spencer Torkelson take hundreds of little ground balls with his tiny mitt at first base, like every day, because this is their job. They get better. So I think Cole Keith is certainly athletic enough to handle second base. I don't know if he's going to be average or above average, but he can survive there against maybe a righty heavy lineup. Put Cole Keith at second base. There you go. You're getting his bat in the lineup. Now look at this throw.
That's awesome, right there.
We actually have a replay of this one because it's a slow motion. It's ranging behind second base.
No.
Basically, turn around, jump throw, strike from 100 feet away. So there's some physical tools there. It's all about the bat, but not nothing.
Yeah, and that's where the reason why it was important to show this is because there was a limited sample size because he was out by, what, mid-May, that injury?
I want to say early June.
Early June, yeah. And the Tigers have had a series of bad news this week. We mentioned earlier, Erod with, it's going to be out for at least 3 or 4 starts. Somebody wanted to correct me on Twitter that I just said at least a start, but again, I was also, I don't know. I know we had so many doctors on Twitter, apparently, but I was also just making sure that I had the correct information. They at least missed a start, but to the extent of how many. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I agree with the stress fracture. And the Tigers found a way to win on Wednesday against the Rangers. But Keith is a guy who's been mashing. And they have to, at this point, you have to be creative. I think under Al Avila, I'm not going to do the what if under Al Avila thing, but if there's one thing that Detroit has been able to do this year that we've not seen in the past is be creative. In terms of the Jake Marcik signing, he comes out yesterday, has 7 or 8 putouts, goes in with a pair of hits. Who saw that coming? I don't know what Jake was doing on Monday, but I'm sure he wasn't expecting to be in Detroit by Wednesday. And
I think he was with the White Sox.
But was he with the White Sox or was he down in Charlotte?
I think he was. Yeah, I mean, he was in the White Sox organization, but I do think he probably was in Charlotte. Like, yeah, I mean, they wanted, so Vierling went down with injury. They wanted another right-handed hitting outfielder. So Mariznick out there, the White Sox weren't going to do anything with him. So they paid however much cash considerations is. And yeah, he came up big with a couple opposite field singles. He's a guy who's been in the big leagues for a long time. Because he's got really good tools. He's never been a very consistent hitter. And they just need bodies right now. They need outfielders. They need somebody who can go get it in center field, and he can do that. So it's like I've talked before about, I feel like so much of the season has been like, hey, why are we still playing scope? Why are they paying them and stuff? And I feel like basically Ehrlich is not willing to eat a bunch of salary if he thinks the Tigers aren't going to win a bunch of games anyway. That makes any sense. And Tigers, like any baseball team, have their own about how they be this year. So we think we might win 75 games, we might 65, something like that. And they adjust for everything that happens. And I'm sure it's basically Hinch's job and Scott Harris's job to try to extend that and make it closer to, hey, we can actually stay afloat, basically. Hey, we can compete. We might be able to win 80 games. If we win 80 games, we might be able to win this terrible division. And at that point, you can go to Scott Harris and say, hey, we know you don't want to eat however much of the $7 million is left, but we need to get better because we think we actually have a chance. And I don't know when they can do that. It certainly doesn't help to lose your two best players one day. But I think that's why we haven't seen a lot of the moves that fans have been asking for is that I don't think Chris Ehrlich wants to do anything unless he thinks they actually have a chance. And I think he needs Harris to come with him with sort of not concrete proof, but projected to say they do have a chance, which I probably not there yet.
Yeah, like Jonathan Scope yesterday had a really bad game, you know, in terms of just defensively. And people forget that he had a recent stretch of good 2 weeks of baseball, but yeah, was hardly mentioned at all. It's just get rid of him. Get rid of him and Baez immediately and make this happen. And it's not that easy. I think that you look at those two in terms of major league experience. That's why they went with Marisic over somebody like Malloy, because he's been in the big leagues before. And if the Tigers are going to continue to win now and be competitive in a brutal schedule coming up, they're going to have to, again, is Malloy ready? I don't know. I really, again, I see the struggles. He had a really rough month of May in terms of at the plate. He's been striking out a lot more than he normally has, and teams are figuring him out a little bit. However, on the flip side of things, you could sit there and say something like along the lines of, look at Will Vest. He struggled, but it's different with pitching.
Yeah, it could be hitters are humans. Malloy could be feeling like I was playing really well in April and they didn't give me a chance and now I'm struggling. And maybe it's in his head. Maybe he just needs to be feeling like he's in the big leagues again. Maybe when he was there at the first of the season, he thought, be like, I'm on my way. And suddenly he wasn't on his way. So maybe he gets the big leagues and hits again. And we're going to see him, I think, at some point this year. So it's just, I think fans treat every single game like it's the entire season, basically. And front offices work on like a geological scale. They're like, oh, that was the Ibanez era. But now we're moving into they have to have a long view and they have to not overreact to everything that happens in every single game. Sometimes you have to react to events in a game, but that's usually only when something really bad goes wrong, like when Javi Baez got pitched. But most of the time, the front office is a little bit more patient and measured with stuff. And it's just, that doesn't fit well with the average fan mentality of, this guy made an error, get him off my team.
Yeah. Because if that was the case, then there'd be half the roster would be turned over at this point, honestly. And,
yeah, and it's always, you're just guessing. We talked about it a lot with Cameron Candelario. Like, what he did last year was not good enough to justify being on the team, really. But you had to go, okay, he has some track record. Do we think it's worth it? Do we think it's worth it? And they go, ultimately they go, no. And then this year, he's improved. He's playing good baseball again. Was that a mistake, or we just have to move on? Sometimes you make mistakes, but sometimes you hold on to guys for way too long, which has been a lot with the Tigers.
Yeah, and at least they're trying, they're doing the much they can. They're trying different things to continuously flip the roster, if you will, and try their hardest to keep the team competitive. And that's all you can ask for at this point. And the thing is that I know the fans are impatient right now with the way things are, but right now the Tigers are scrapping together. And I hate using those kind of cliches, and everybody wants Zach McKinstry in the All-Star team, he's done a really good job. And again, he's becoming a folk hero, which is, it's always like, Tiger fans always find a way to do this. And admittedly, it's always been, if it wasn't Don Kelly, we're going to see somebody write a blog about how great Zach McKinstry is and how much of a legend he's going to be, which is fine because he's done a really good job. He had a really good assist yesterday, right? Played the ball off the wall perfectly and was able to forgot who he gunned down at second base. But nevertheless, you're talking about these narratives and chapters, that's part of the whole entire long part of the season. And so they needed, and you know what, quite frankly, a story like McKinstry, the Tigers were due for something like that to happen.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the sort of Scott Harris's move so far, right? It's his big one to say, hey, okay, maybe he has some idea. Because that was a guy that, by all any available public measure, was not heading for success this year. He was awful in spring training, hadn't been terribly good in the big leagues with the Dodgers. But they said, hey, his numbers in AAA were really good. And everybody's like, oh, whatever, AAA. But they saw something, and talked about it before. It might have been a sweet spot that he gets the barrel on the ball. But he's playing really well for now. And it does feel like a small victory for the Tigers. If he keeps it up, then hey, yeah, you've got yourself a piece for the future. We've seen baseball players do this sort of thing all the time. Sometimes guys are hot for a month or hot for 2 months, and then it cools off. Or sometimes they're just good baseball players and they stay good. just kind of have to cross your fingers with McKittrick. But, I don't know. The only other thing I suppose we should talk about is Reese Olson making his big debut tomorrow. It's fun. It's always fun to see a guy make his big league debut. I'm not terribly optimistic about how it's going to go, because that has nothing to do with Reese Olson's ability. It has more to do with, boy, like 90% of guys making their big league debut struggle. Remember Joey Witz had a really rough debut and then came back and was good before struggling again. I don't know. He's got the stuff to pitch in the big leagues, but he's just got to put it in the right spot or else he's going to get hit really hard.
Yeah, over his last three starts, he's been very effective and figured things out a little bit. He's using his changeup quite a bit more. This is his May 20th start against Omaha, where he got 15 swings and misses. And the call strike swing rate was 50% on that changeup, which has been some really good darting action on it. So that's against a team like Chicago, who's really aggressive at the plate. It'll be interesting to see how he faces a guy like Tim Anderson, where Tim Anderson just hammers everything Tiger pitching wise. And so what's nice about this is they're going to have some sort of a scouting report on Olson, but if he could keep the ball down and away like he can in this start and let it here alone, setting up his changeup pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, the two big things I've seen, his changeup is his best pitch. It's arguably the best changeup in the entire organization, maybe behind Lang's, maybe, I don't know, you want to say Lorenzo, yeah, but it's a really good changeup. He's not afraid to throw it to right-handers. He's not afraid to throw it 2-3 times in a row to anybody. So I'm really interested to see how they have him pitch in the big leagues, because his fastball is his worst pitch. It's 95 miles an hour and get up to 97, but it just gets pummeled usually. He doesn't miss bats with it for the most part. And so I'm really curious to see if they try to keep him from using that a ton and stick with the changeup and slider and curveball. Because the other big thing, I think, in the last start is the slider location is better. Early in the year, it's a high spin, 3,000 RPM breaking ball. So is his curveball. Like, his stuff. There's nothing wrong with his stuff. But he would spin it and leave it right over the heart of the zone. What Jackson Jobe was doing a little bit last year in the minors, where it moves a lot and spins a lot, but if you're not locating it, that doesn't really help you. And so he's been doing a good job, Olson has, of locating it low and away the right-handed hitters. And so I'd like to see more of that. But there's plenty to work with here. It's just a matter of locating, because big league hitters don't miss a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, his starts heading in this prior to these last three starts he's been having, it's been really command with him. That's been the issue. Some of his stuff has looked really good, but just sequencing and just it has been a thing with him where he will have a really good, again, his first, when he goes up against somebody at first, it's first batter, get three or four pitches, but then the next batter, for whatever reason, would be 11, 13, 14 pitch at bat, we're battling and end up being either making hard contact somewhere or they walk, and it hasn't been the case recently.
Yeah. I think there was also an element of he was getting hit so hard that then you start nibbling, right? You're trying. It's tough. It's a tough balancing act where you don't want to throw it down the middle. But then if you're trying to throw it too far out of the zone and get guys to chase, then suddenly they're walking and then you get yourself in more trouble. I don't know. It's good to see them improve after those early struggles. It was looking really rough there for a while. But you always feel happy for guys making the big league debut. So that'll be exciting. And hold out hope that it can give them 4 or 5 innings and look solid.
Especially if you're going to have Hinch has done a really good job. Case in point with Joey Wentz's start. Yes, on Wednesday against the Rangers, where Wentz was hanging in there against a very good Texas team, but he has curveball working and very effectively. And so it'll be interesting. There'll be probably a short leash on Olson, especially with against the White Sox, who they're a familiar opponent with, but they also have to Monday when they come back, they have the Braves coming. So it's not going to be any easier for Detroit.
No, it's a tough month for them. This is going to be a really challenging month. You've lost your best hitter for who knows how long, maybe 2 months, maybe the whole year, unfortunately. And you lost your best pitcher for at least one start, according to the Twitter doctors, but probably 4 or 5. Generally, you don't rupture things in your hand and come back from it. But I don't know, maybe he can throw nothing but palm balls and not use his fingers. Fingers are usually important in pitching, but who knows? So yeah, it's going to be a tough month. They're going to have to survive it. As you said, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel with Scooble and Manning and Turnbull, and Carpenter's going to be coming back soon. Meadows will be coming off the IL, theoretically. So some help on the way, but these next few weeks are going to be a real challenge.
Palm ball, by the way, is the last Tiger to throw a palm ball. Joe Bolliver, remember him?
No.
No?
Joe Bolliver?
You don't remember Joe Bolliver?
No, I remember, was it Frank Denana? I remember Frank Denana tried the hesitation pitch in like spring training in like 1987 or 89 or whatever. Like, they're like, yeah, he's trying it. He'll start pitching and then stop and then throw again. And they're like, they let him do it. Frank Denana, they're like, no, that's a balk every time. What are you doing, Frank? But yeah, palm ball.
Yeah, he threw a palm ball. This was, I'm trying to find him right here. I'm trying to find a quick picture of him. But yeah, he was a journeyman starter, bounced around between Atlanta, Philly. It was one of those veterans the Tigers would take a flyer on. But yeah, here he is. This is Joe Bolliver. And there's a good story in Sabre. It talks about him, because this is when the Indians just teed off on the Tigers on a regular basis. But yeah, so he threw a palm ball. That was his main pitch. And he pitched for the Tigers for a couple seasons before he went and ended his career with the Pirates. But yeah, that was the last Tiger pitcher.
It's just a changeup. It's just a different grip. The primary changeup we see now is the circle change, where you put it in your palm, circle part a little bit.
Or the Vulcan one.
Vulcan is probably the more, you know, like more split change, if you will.
Yeah.
And the palm ball, Jim Palmer, I think, threw the palm ball. Like, it's a changeup that I think it should be greater, but it still has the velocity separation and looks like a fastball. In any event, yeah. Eduardo Rodriguez is not going to be doing that.
No.
Joker. That's hurt his finger.
But yeah, the ruptured finger thing was, it didn't sound exactly, it sounded painful, in other words. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you want to check out everything else on our website, go to tigersmlreports.com. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel, Tigers Minor League Report or Motor City Metrics. And for all great original content, go to those two channels. Or if you also want to help us out, and go to our patreon.com/Tigers Minor League Report. And we just had Jerry post a player profile article on there exclusively only on the Patreon. And we have a couple articles coming out here as well. So I'll be doing a kind of a piece on what life after Riley Green, depending on what happens with the farm system. And Chris has got an outfield piece and what to expect from Reese Olson, correct?
Yeah, Reese Olson one will be up tomorrow. I got the outfield draft piece is out right now. And then I'm going to do just a quick recap of our top 25, how they did statistically in May. Because rather than, I considered if we should do another re-ranking, but it feels a little too soon. So just look at some statistical performances and see how guys did that month. And random note, I just saw that outfielder Cole Calhoun has exercised his opt-out with the Yankees, so he might be on the market there for the Tigers if they want another lefty outfielder. But anyway, probably a lot of guys opting out right now.
Yeah, because they're probably choosing the right time. And right now, hopefully the Tigers can pick up a veteran pitcher to supplement.
Yeah.
Because right now, they need starters so bad. And when Scooble come back, we'll see. But there is some good progress with that. So for myself and Chris, we'll talk to you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.